Third eye blind, deep inside of you. Mornings with Ed and a very good morning, 8:07. And hope you're having a great day so far. In studio right now, it's time for the Artist Corner. A segment we do every Monday where we spotlight a local artist, someone who in our community is working hard and making beautiful art. You may not even know it. You spot them every day, maybe at Gelson's, who knows? But we're glad to have Chris Scardino with us this morning. Chris is a 3D mixed media artist. Am I coining that right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, you're among other things. There's a million other things that you're great at, but I thought if I could get someone's imagination to think about what you're doing. First of all, right. Welcome. Thanks for the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So tell me about how you got started. How did you look at some artwork and go, yeah, that's something I can do?
I'll try not to start too modeling, but it was about 20 years ago. My father gets cancer. This is going to get happier. Don't worry.
No, I got it.
But this is just part of my life. I didn't have an art background at all. It just wasn't there. And anyway, through the next 5 weeks, I started drawing him and thinking more about expression and the highs and lows and everything. And after he passed, like 2 months later, I'm at LCAD just up the street here. And as a fine art major, not having a background at all. And I went in there like Van Gogh. Right. It was pretty intense.
So you started with sketchings and drawings of your father.
Yeah, and that was the first time I had ever drawn anything from life when he was about to leave the world.
Right.
And then I thrust all of that energy and kind of misspent vigor for life that I didn't know, where I was going at the time. And I put it right into this kind of unknown entity, and I started to figure things out. That was my place.
Right, and you, obviously emotion went into those drawings. Do you still find that same emotion and passion as you move forward in life and in your art?
Yeah, I do. I think it kind of fuels a lot of what's there. If you can't kind of dig down deep somewhere and you're just kind of surface dwelling kind of ideas or like a lack of emotion and you're just trying to do a painting, then it's probably going to show. So I try to, when I work on something, I try to conjure up these kind of beautiful memories, even kind of some sad things that'll get your get your heart pumping a little bit more. And, that's kind of where I live. I'm Italian and Puerto Rican. I can't really help a lot of that. Right. The fire is always there.
Right.
But if it's not at the surface, I'm not in the studio.
Right. Right. Is there a difficult choice choosing between abstract and figure art, or just straight abstract?
Because I went to LCAD, and it's really strict classical realism where you're doing eyelashes and fingernails, and I used to do that. I used to do it pretty well. But at the same time, at the end of it all, I noticed that, that whole process, exactly what you're going to be painting. Right. There were no surprises. So for me to close my eyes or spill some paint, or in my case now, cutting and burning and using metal and just kind of, reacting to myself, it's such a stronger expression. Because before, I would just know exactly what it was the whole time. Like I said, I need to be surprised.
Right. Now I'm going to describe to the audience that the thing that caught my eye as I walked by your booth was some burnt wood pieces of art. Now, as you're flaming wood, as you're putting fire, flame to wood, are you designing something, or is this just it's coming emotionally out of you? Are you drawing on the wood before you flame it? Is there?
No, I haven't drawn any kind of sketch out or even something like rudimentary. Yeah. I just kind of react to what's there, and if there's a circle in my mind that needs to be there, I will burn, paint, or cut it. Without thinking this is geometric shape or it's a planet or whatever people want it to be when they look at it.
Right.
So I just kind of go off of, I just start. I figure once you start, you could react to that.
Right.
If you do two or three things, you're reacting to multiple things. And then it all comes from that place of like, this is going to be something different because I didn't start with anything in mind. I'm not thinking about anything right now, which is tough for an artist because we think about everything to the point where most of us can't sleep.
Right. You have to funnel all of that information somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yours is just kind of like spinning in the funnel right there.
Yeah, it's spinning there, and I don't know what it is during the process. I don't even know what it is afterwards, you know, to the point I could talk about it for an hour, but at the same time, I'd like for people to kind of see whatever they'd like to see as that individual. So everything's kind of personal.
When I spot some of the metal work that you do as well, it occurs to me that obviously for you, shape and texture and weight have to be really important in your artwork. Am I crazy in thinking that?
No, you're right on the money.
Right.
Yeah, it is about weight and balance. I mean, like with music and words on a page, and pick any art form, stand-up comedy. There's a balance and weight, and there's a tenor. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to be really loud.
Right.
Where people have to stand back. You have to know what your strengths are. And for me, I think it was always balance and weight, and kind of like this esoteric kind of plane of like maybe geometric things. I have a background in math science if we go back far enough.
Okay.
And so I've always had the angles and shapes and a lot of numbers, like too many numbers in my head.
Right.
And so I think I let that all congeal and come together with my other loves of what this life has to offer. And just let it happen in the moment.
Right. Now, when you were, as a kid, did you do the regular take wood shop and metal shop or none of that?
No, I don't. Wow. I don't have any recollection. And we didn't have crayons around.
Right.
I don't remember. I'll just say I wasn't encouraged to do that. Not that I was deprived of being a creative person.
Right.
My mom was working a couple jobs. It was just my mom raising two boys. Right. And she was just trying to get food on the table. So she didn't have, like, oh, here's some pastels. Aren't these nice?
Right.
I didn't know what those were until my father died.
Right.
And I started to understand, oh, this is what pastel is. This is what they mean by charcoal.
Right.
And it wasn't too long ago, but it was like, halfway through it was the middle of my life, at least in terms of how old I am now.
Just a side question, and I'm going to take a left turn with this. During that time when you found the passion for art as your dad was dying, did you write as well? Because I have a feeling you would be a great musician and songwriter as well. Was there any writing that went into that emotion?
Yeah, I used to play music with a friend. You're good. This guy's tapping into something. He would play music, and I could play a little bit now. Really great guitarist, and I was a shy kid that didn't raise my hand even if I knew the question, you know, and the answer. But anyway, I used to write songs and kind of squeal out some vocals, and then I got more confidence, and I was like, oh, I could sing, I could do that.
Right.
But that was my first mode of expression, and then I was still quiet. It was still internal,
right.
and then you know, all these other kind of forms started kind of pouring out. Where it's like, well, let me at least try that. I mean, you don't know if you're good at something unless you don't try it.
Right.
So,
do you still have any of the first pieces you created? Did you keep anything?
I got a few, like you said, when I was drawing my father and some other things, and I started getting this portfolio ready for the school. I remember doing a self-portrait during that time. It was a heavy time.
Right.
And the self-portrait, I remember I drew myself, and the top of the head was cut off by the top of the paper, which is perfect because my head was elsewhere. And it was like, oh, that kind of looks like me, like, strangely enough.
Right.
But I used to write some poetry and some things, and I think I have them in a portfolio somewhere.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, currently, when you sell a piece of art, I a couple of total layman questions for you here. So when you sell a piece of art, do you find sadness as it walks out the door sometimes?
No.
No, it's okay. You're fine.
They haven't been my little babies for years and years.
All right.
They're supposed to be elsewhere.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And if somebody comes, let's say somebody comes to commission a piece, how does one gauge what you charge somebody? How do you, what's the math that goes into charging somebody?
You know, over time, you just start to figure out whether it's the equation is like, you know, time and just the level of kind of like, you know, research and kind of time it took for me to kind of figure out this new kind of shape and everything, and size and material. Sometimes it comes into the type of wood I'm using, and how much I'm burning. Maybe I should charge by the flame. Like, hey, I had the flame going for 15 minutes here. It's $5,000. You gotta figure out a lot of different things and just be sure about, hey, this is what this is worth at the very least. I'm not overpricing anything.
It's having confidence in your own artistic ability.
Being confident, right? Just like anyone with any art form. You start like selling things for $2, and you go, "Hey, this is worth a lot more than that now." It really is. So
now you married an artist. You met and you married an artist.
Unbelievable.
Is that something, man? Was it kismet, or were you looking for another person of creative value?
She's gonna love this. But she was chasing me down for a couple years.
All right.
Yeah, honey, she has a different story.
Okay.
But no, we went to LCAD together. I was graduating right when she started up as a fine artist, and she's a great painter and so many other things. And I started working at Lugan Art Museum, and then she found her way down to the museum looking for a job.
Imagine that.
And, you know, she got the job because I knew the guy that would be hiring. So, yeah, she was going to get a job there. And, we just kind of hit it off. And she comes from Iran, and she has a totally different background. Even though she's been here 20 years, we share a lot of the same things in common. And we're very different in a lot of ways. But artistically and just emotionally, we're the same.
There's an energy that both of you share.
Yeah, it's right there.
Do you give each other advice on works that you're currently working on, or do you stay out of each other's art that way?
She's the only one that could say anything about my art.
Okay. Yeah.
I like an interesting and evolved discussion where someone really knows what they're looking at.
Right.
And so Shakiba's been around the art long enough where she would see, like, do you think that works there, or isn't that color a little hot for this piece? But otherwise she tends to like my work, and even though it's very different, and like I said, it's something that it's for the individual to perceive however they want. But she's been around it enough, and I do the same with her every once in a while when I think she wants to hear something.
Right. And each of you knows, man, you got that energy going. So obviously, you know when to stay in and when to stay out.
And it's really important to have a sounding board, because as an artist, we lead these solitary lives. You know, you're kind of out there on the walls, and there's a lot of people at a party. You're talking with everyone. But for the most part, we're alone a lot of the time, mm-hmm. with our own thoughts and this piece in front of us that we're trying to figure out. So a lot of it is that alone time, but to have someone else right in the same room,
right.
You know, as someone to figure things out with is nice.
Especially when there's that deep respect, first of all, as for the other artist. Forget the fact that they're your wife, that you have deep respect for her as the artist. That's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, it definitely means something, because it's not like every piece is laid out there and you kind of figure it out and next. And,
right.
You know, sometimes it is a struggle, and you got to get out of the studio or just do something else to kind of figure it out.
Right. You were at the Art Affair for a couple of summers, and this past summer you were over at the Festival of Arts grounds, right?
Yeah, the Festival of Arts and Art Affair, pulling the
double. Oh, you were doing the double duty this year, right?
Double duty. Right. Yeah, there were six of us going back and forth across the street.
That's a dangerous. That's a dangerous street to cross, man.
Yeah. So these artists running across the street. We're all still on Earth, so we all made it. But it was really tough to divide your time and part of your mind and obviously the work on side to side. So I like showing here, there, and everywhere. Right. But I also think it's better to focus on one venue at a time.
Right.
So hopefully in the future I get the chance to be able to do that instead of running ragged.
Right. Where can we see you next? Where can we find your art next?
Should I give my address? Come over to my studio.
Do you have a website we can go on, by the way?
Yeah, it's just scardinofineart.com. Social media is all Scardino Art. So if you remember Scardino Art.
S-C-A-R-D-I-N-O, exactly as it sounds.
You got it, yeah, exactly. Even though people want to spell it differently, right. Exactly as it sounds. And, you know, it's not in Laguna, but down in Little Italy in San Diego area,
right.
There's a Adelman Fine Art just picked me up.
Oh, cool.
So I'm showing there. It's a smaller boutique gallery. They have a lot of lively, kind of colorful pieces, right, and a lot of artists that come from these different perspectives in terms of technique, like me with burning and cutting, which, right, which is not normal. So there are a lot of other artists that just come from a different place. And yeah, we'll see how that works out.
What are you working on now?
There's a big commission I'm working on for someone in Laguna Beach.
Very cool.
Which is nice. It's going to be kind of the centerpiece of their home. And I hope they...
What a great feeling that must be.
Yeah, yeah, right when you walk up the stairs and there's a big wall and it's going to be there.
That's cool.
And we'll see if they need more. Working on that and, you know, working on some pieces for the gallery. And there's always things in the future. I don't have them on the calendar just yet.
Right.
But, yeah, working on all these different ideas and you kind of just see where they fit.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. If you're just joining us, we've been talking to Chris Scardino, artist and an amazing artist. You got to go online and check out this guy's stuff. And I'm not just blowing smoke in your face. This is stuff that I would hang on my wall if I had any space on my wall. You know, I don't even have counter space at my house.
We
hear
it all the time.
Yeah, but if I had the space, I don't have. I really don't, man. I don't. You know, you've made it in Laguna when you have counter space. That's, you know, if you don't have counter space, you know, I share chopping chicken and a microwave on this. It's an office and a kitchen. Anyhow, Chris Scardino, thank you so much for being here. If you missed any portion of this, it'll be podcast up on our website, KX93.5, a little bit later on today. Chris Scardino in the Artist Corner. Thanks for coming in today, man.
Thank you.